Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study meeting. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, August 20th, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics. We're on page 48. I'm going to focus on paragraph 4 today that begins with the prosaic steel girder and ends with nothing and proceeds nowhere. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Nan K., the 12 traditions, Laura R., reading the steps and support would be Elaine T., Mary Jane Z., and Kara L. Wendy B. is going to greet the newcomers and get those sponsor contact information in rapid fire. And then Leslie M. will wrap us up with announcements here. Listen to those announcements. There's some good ones coming up. The share ID number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be Monday, August 19th, 2019, is 13294, 13,294. And then the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting that happened earlier today, Tuesday, August 20th, is 13296, 13,296 for that 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nan K. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, I'm Nan K., recovered compulsive overeater from Northern Michigan. Here are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you, Nan Kay. I will now ask Laura R. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Laura R. from Colorado, recovered compulsive overeater. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and recording, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted at all times, and that would be mentioning specifically the star 1 function on your phone keypad as the mode of muting. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter We Agnostics, page 48, paragraph 4. Today we're going to unpack that starts with the prosaic steel girder and ends with proceeds nowhere. And I'd like to ask Elaine T. to read that paragraph today to start us off and then share her experience before we open it up to the general public.
Thanks, Melanie. This is Elaine T., recovered in Pittsburgh just for today. The prosaic steel girder is a mass of electrons whirling around each other at incredible speed. These tiny bodies are governed by precise laws, and these laws hold true throughout the material world. Science tells us so. We have no reason to doubt it. When, however, the perfectly logical assumption is suggested that underneath the material world and life as we see it, there is an all-powerful, guiding, creative intelligence, right there, our perverse streak comes to the surface and we laboriously set out to convince ourselves it isn't so. We read wordy books and indulge in windy arguments, thinking we believe this universe needs no God to explain it. Were our contentions true, it would follow that life originated out of nothing, means nothing, and proceeds nowhere. I love this paragraph for many reasons. First of all, my experience when I came into program was that I had a God, I had a religion. I almost said faith, but I'm not so sure of that. So I didn't think that I was going to have any trouble with the second step or the third. But what I found was that my belief in a higher power was kind of like an understanding of the tiny bodies, the atoms, the electrons which whirl around each other. It was out there. It did its thing. And I didn't really have any relationship to it. And thank goodness program has helped me realize that if God has for this creative intelligence, whatever you want to call it, has a connection to and is intrinsically involved with these tiny little bodies running around at incredible speed, the same things that govern my body, that nothing was too small for him, that my life, my inability to eat like a sane person, my inability when I ate to act like a sane person was something that he genuinely cared about. And I could ask for help. And boy, that was totally revolutionary for me. I did not understand that. The part of the sentence that says, right there, a perverse streak comes out to surface. And my perverse streak did not involve the belief in the higher power as much as it involved my program, what I was going to have to do. My head went around the ideas of I was going to have to give up certain foods. Boy, my perverse streak jumped right in there. So I was like, don't mess with my food, guys. I spent a lot of time, even in program, trying to talk myself out of, or that I could be different than, and I didn't need to go to the same lengths other people went to. I don't know why I thought I was terminally unique. I even used to laugh when people said those lines. And in my head, at least, I indulged in windy arguments. But finally, quieting down and listening to my higher power, I was able to acknowledge that I had this disease, that I was going to have to do whatever it took to arrest this disease, and that and the results were phenomenal almost immediately, and they continue to grow. That's my spiritual experience. As I continue to grow, as I let him into my life. I'm so grateful that my life does not originate out of nothing, doesn't mean nothing, and doesn't proceed anywhere, because I do know people who believe that way. My own children have gone through phases of their struggles, and it saddens me to wonder how they hope, how they have any hope at all. If there isn't a power out there who's in control of the universe, who can assist us in anything that we need, and who loves us. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Elaine T., for opening us up this morning. It's now open to all to comment on paragraph 4, page 48 of the Big Book. I'll take your first name and the first initial of your last name, please.
Mag C.
Hi, Megs.
Hi.
Anybody else?
Kara. Good morning, Electra F.
Hi, Kara. Hi, Electra. Anyone else?
Mary Jane Z.
Hi, Mary Jane. Thank you.
Kayla T.
Kayla T, hi.
Bruce E.
Bruce E, that's it. That's my lineup. Thanks so much. I have Meg C, Electra S, Kara L, Mary Jane Z, Kayla T, and Bruce E. You're on now, Mags, and then Electra coming after you. Hi again.
Hi, guys. Good morning. It is a beautiful day in Denver, Colorado. Recovered here in Denver, Colorado. And, you know, for me, this is the nuts and bolts of my mind. And as I've said on the line before, I'm a practicing agnostic, which just basically to me just means that I have wonder and joy in this life. And there's no entity, but I am not a not God kind of person. I totally, like in my younger years, I had lots and lots of experiences with different churches and different views of Christianity, because my mother's a little crazy and she kept moving us around to different religious institutions. So we were Episcopalian, and then we were Catholic, and then we were Methodist, and then we were Protestant, and then we were Lutheran, and then we went all the way back to Baptist, and then we went back to Episcopalian. So by the time I was 12 years old, I was kind of like, well, this all seems kind of the same. So be good, do good, because someone's watching you. And so for me, that seemed overly punitive. And at 12 years of age, I asked a priest, basically I said, so you could believe anything you want. And he's like, well, yeah. And I'm like, that's so cool. And since that time, I've carried that childlike sense of joy and wonder to science, because that's what my mind relates to. And so for me, electrons whirling around with tons of space in a solid steel beam, hell yeah, that is so cool. And there's so much wonder and joy in that for me. I don't know what they're going to come up with next. So to a mind that doesn't trust in authority figures easily due to my crazy and abusive childhood, this is a way for me to touch on the beauty of this life and the wonder of this life. And that connects me to hope and faith in a way that I just can't do otherwise. And I've tried. I've been in the program since like 2003, and I've tried. I have tried, and I've gotten down on myself because I couldn't find an entity called God or that higher power that I could focus on an entity. And in the foxhole, you know, when I've had like horrible nights at 2 a.m., I do use the words, dear God. And I don't feel any hypocrisy in that. And because I am just, there is so much mistrust in my, that soul deep. And when I was little, my soul was just wrenched apart. Thank you. And that trust has to be rebuilt. And through a universe that has sprung out of nothing, with multiple universes and dimensions that have been proven by math, that is so cool. And so I have empathy towards anyone who has trouble in this not God idea. So give me a call and we can talk. All right. Thanks so much. That's all I got.
Thanks, Meg C. Electra S. And then Kara will come in after you. Good morning, Electra.
Good morning, Electra S. Recovered bulimic compulsive overeater in California. Happy Tuesday. What a beautiful day it is. I'm really grateful this morning, and This chapter was vital for my recovery. I think I felt like step one was fairly basic of where I was at and relapsed and powerless and unmanageable. I could have written about that for years. When we got to step two, I was like, well, we can kind of skip step two. And when my sponsor so graciously said, you know, take a day and define your God. And I was like, what do you mean define my God? I mean, that freaked me out. Like defining something that I was powerless to, came to believe that something else was actually going to guide me and take care of me. That just didn't seem practical. I felt like that was a therapist or my parents or money or a treatment facility or something, four walls. And, by the grace, I was so willing and surrendering. I took some time. That was a really hard moment for me. And in the beginning, my God was this crazy, like this beautiful Pegasus, just something looking out over me. But step two, which people can move through pretty quick, that was a hard step for me. And step three, not very hard because I did the work in step two. And wow, to be able to turn our lives over to something more powerful. But the We Agnostics chapter, what that did for me is I thought it was going to be a chapter that gave me an out, that was going to tell me I didn't have to believe. And it did quite the opposite. It gave me the strength and the surrender to really pay attention to the words. And how genius to be describing science and math as a relation to the power of the universe, to my God, to being powerless, to believing something more powerful. And so I just, you know, I welcome newcomers to this program because it's just a program of love and not having to control every moment of your life on your own or through other people, but through a power that's certainly greater than myself. And I'm very grateful for that God of my understanding. So welcome to the newcomers. I'm very blessed and grateful today. A little sidetracked. I'm in a hotel, and so it's a little loud around here. But grateful for you on the line. Thank you for your service. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Electra S. Kara L., it's your 3 minutes, and then Mary Jane Z. will come in after you. Star 1, Kara L.
Is that better? Can everybody hear
mm-hmm.
me now? Oh, good. I thought I was muted. Good morning. My name is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Oh, thank you to everyone who's doing service on the meeting this morning, bringing it to us. This paragraph, it reminds me, you know, it's, you know, here we have an example of something that I trust. I go into buildings all the time. I trust that these stickers are going to hold on. I live in earthquake territory. I still trust that these buildings are going to be safe. And, you know, I know scientifically, logically, that there's a lot happening under what I see and I feel is firm, but I can't see it with my eye. But I trust it's there. My intellectual mind says, yes, science tells us. Then it says, well, this whole world, is there something beneath there that we can't see? And it says, well, this is where our problem lies. You know, this is where my problem lies. Am I willing to work so hard to say that there is nothing underlying everything that's happening, that there's an all-powerful, guiding, creative intelligence? How much work have I put in over the last 50 years to prove to myself that there is nothing when, you know, I worked these steps and I came to believe and I said, well, what if there is? What if there is? What if I let go of my God of intellect and my God of proof and I just said, what if there is? And then what if I just start asking every day, you know, God, help me with this. Give me a decision here, an inspiring thought, intuition. And then what if I worked every day to clear my path so I could receive that information? I'll tell you right now, when I did, everything cleared up. I got food neutrality. My relationships are getting better. Life seems easier and I'm happier. And all I had to do is take that step of, well, what if there is? And I just start acting as if there is. It's been a huge change in my life, and I'm ever so grateful. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kara L. Mary Jane Z, you're up, and then Kayla will come in after you.
Good morning, everyone. Mary Jane Z, recovered in Kentucky. The prosaic steel girder. Hey, isn't that word prosaic? It's such a pretty word. And then I looked it up, and it's like, what? Having the style or diction of prose, lacking poetic beauty. Unimaginative, uninspired, humdrum, mundane, heavy, plodding, lifeless. Oh, my gosh. But all that activity is going on around it. And this paragraph for me is trying to, you know, it's like it's got its little hands trying to pry my pride and my mind made up. Don't confuse me with the facts, beliefs. That's what it's trying to do. It's just like, come on. You believe, you go on this, you act like this, but still you're saying there's nothing? There's nothing, really? There's nothing? Just look. Just start paying attention. And a long time ago, my kids took an art class where they had to draw what they, like a leaf. Draw the leaf. What do you see? And then the next thing, they used a magnifying glass to draw a little section of the leaf. And then they used a stronger something to draw it. And every time you could see something different. And that's all this is asking us to do, is just start looking. Just, I'm not saying anything that the other speakers haven't said, but just, I just had to start looking. Just, and I couldn't look until entire abstinence. I was looking. I mean, I worked the steps, but I wasn't entirely absent. But that chatter was still going on, that little in the back of my head, that, you know, all about, oh, should I eat this? I shouldn't eat this. Oh, I ate too much. That was still going on. But once that's gone, then there's the other crazy chatter of what's really going on. But if I could just get still, and I get still by turning everything over to my higher power, and then I can see. And this is just getting me started. Just be willing to look. Are you willing to sit still for a minute and look? And you'll be amazed at what you'll see, because it will be revealed. So as I've heard on these lines, I just want to encourage you all, surrender. Surrender. Give up. Quit trying to figure it out. I know nothing, but it's revealed to me every day. And with that, I pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Mary Jane Z. Kayla T., it's your turn, and then Bruce E. will come in after you, and then we'll take on some other folks to comment on that paragraph. Paragraph 4, page 48 of the big book. Hi, Kayla.
Hi, can you hear me?
Sure can.
Okay, awesome. So Kayla T., recovered compulsive overeater in Bellflower, California. I just want to take a second and really tell you all how grateful I am just to be in your presence right now, because I've been without a phone for a week and life's just been very not normal. And so adapting and just being back in a meeting is exactly where I need to be. And I just am grateful that everybody's here, and thank you for everybody that's doing service. This is my home, you know? This paragraph kind of is, you know, I'm going to be really honest, it's a confusing thing for me. I just wanted to participate in my recovery today. And, you know, what comes to mind when I read this paragraph is like the last sentence in it: when our contentions are true, it would follow that life originated out of nothing, means nothing, and proceeds nowhere. And I don't know. My experience has always been, you know, I was raised with my grandparents who were very faith-based people, regardless of the type of religion that they believed in. I was exposed at a very young age to believe that there was something, and that set in for me a foundation that, although throughout my life, I did not access that entity or that belief or depend on it or access it, essentially, it was there, you know. And I have derailed throughout my life with many, many things. And I think in the underlying aspect of my whole life, I always knew that there was something bigger, you know, something bigger than myself. And like I said, I was very lost for many years, lost in addiction and lost in food and lost in many things, you know. And it wasn't until this act of these series of events in my life where I became so desperate and so out of answers, was I able to resurface on a level and look around and say, what are my options? And thank God there was program for me. Program for me is home. You know, this is where I have found through the steps to clear away that wreckage, to clear away my path, you know, the path and the connection that I get to feel with my God, with my higher power. And the beauty of this program is that there is no definitive higher power, And I'm just so grateful that we all get to come together on a Tuesday morning and acknowledge this power that's greater than us and just be in love with it. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Kayla T. Just again, I wanted to say that we're going to open up the lines after Bruce has his 3 minutes to paragraph 4 on page 48 if you wanted to get ready to comment on that paragraph. But for now, we're going to listen to Bruce E. comment what he thinks those directions are all about for him. Hi, Bruce.
Hi. Thank you. Thanks for the three. And a mass of electrons whirling around each other at incredible speed. Now, who would ever thought that up? It'd have to take a creative intelligence, a greater intelligence, much greater than me, all-powerful, guiding, creative intelligence to think that one up and put that together and make that work. And I remember when I was really, really little, like 10 or something, and I'm reading these magazines, that talk about this sort of thing, And I read that where it was all these little tiny bodies within a piece of wood or a steel girder or something like that. And I thought, why would it be that way? But it is, I believed it right off. But I still didn't believe in a power greater than myself. I believed that, but I didn't believe, that a God of the universe put it all together. And my body, that there's blood going through my veins and my heart pumps the blood up through my veins and it goes to my vital organs and through my brain and so forth. So it has to be God. But for years, I didn't realize that. My precious dear mother dragged me to church every Sunday, and I didn't get it. I just felt a little bit of freshness come about after I got home from church, but I didn't grasp it. I didn't hold on to it. I just let it go. The clamors of the world took over. And then later on, the addiction, the disease got such a hold of me. I didn't believe in God for all those years of my life until I was 38. But the disease got me to the point where I was finally willing to open up and to be teachable. It's the disease that beat me into it. But and going back and look at this, a mass of electrons whirling around inside of that steel beam. Well, I mean, it, like I heard earlier, if God believes, God is the God of the little things as well as the big things. I lost my car keys. In all my life, I wouldn't have prayed about that. But now that I'm a believer, I believe that, I started praying about my car keys. I prayed, I even called the dealership and they said $400 for a new key because it's the electronic or the remote type. And I prayed for 6 weeks for that car key. And finally, where I found it? I mean, I always, the car key is either in my pocket or it's in the dresser drawer. It was inside of a paper towel tube in the car. So anyway, I found it. So after praying for it. So that was God. So I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Brucey. The lines are now open for other folks to comment on paragraph 4. Give me your first name and the first initial of your last name, please.
Cheryl.
Jackie H.
I hear Cheryl. And I hear Jackie.
Jackie H.
Oh. Yeah. Gotcha.
Lori A.
Lori, is that what I heard? Hang on, Stacy. Yes. Lori. Okay, and then Stacy will be the last one. So let's see if I have those. I don't know that I have all the hey, I got your Matt. All those. Is it Jackie H that I got? So I have Cheryl, Jackie H, Matt S, Lori, and Stacy T for this particular lineup. And that may take us to the end. So I'm looking at me. Okay. So Cheryl, you're up first. Cheryl S, is it?
Yes. Hi. Can I be heard? Thank you so much.
Sure. Loud and clear.
Yeah. Thank you for the meeting. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Timekeeper. Thank you for the shares. Thank you for the reading. Oh, wow. On page 49, it says, we have no reason to doubt it. And I never did. I never doubted in a power greater than myself, that Christian God that I had. I just didn't know how to tap the power within. And I used to hear people say recovery, you know, you put recovery first. And I used to cringe at that. Not me. And I was a big time doubter. And you know, God of my understanding, my loving higher power is a spiritual, universal entity for me. He's real as I can see myself. And I saw that this morning in the mirror, and I shared that with a fellow traveler. And, you know, I really do like the person I'm becoming, finally, building a healthy relationship with the power greater than myself is finally settling in. Into me I see that intimacy. This was this paragraph I think about, you know, and we agnostic. And I am coming to believe step two in every single word and aspect of my life. I remember hearing people share and say, you know, we turn our will and our lives over, give all of ourselves to Him, all of yourself. And I was like, not sure I could do that. But now I'm practicing new behaviors. I'm healing. I have new perspectives in life. I sense His presence. I smell Him. I taste Him. I feel Him. And it's real. And it's really thought-provoking for me. It is so powerful. And I told one of my fellow travelers this morning, I said, I think I'm in a shift. I reserve the fact that I'm imperfect. I reserve the fact that I'm imperfect today because I tried for so long to be perfect, perfect with my food, perfect with my relationships, perfect with my money. Nothing never worked. I reserve that fact today. And that's because I kept coming back, even when I didn't want to, even when I tried to do a 180. Even when I didn't want to hear it, I kept coming back. Even when I self-sabotaged myself, I kept coming back. And I picked up that spiritual toolkit. Kept coming back. Kept reading this book. Kept listening. Kept sharing. Kept, you know, moving forward. Fall down, got back up. That's my spiritual universal entity.
Time.
I call him my loving higher power. Thank you so much for letting me share my truth today. I pass.
Thank you, Cheryl S. Jackie H., you're up next, and then Matt S., like Sam, will be after you.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Jackie H. May I be heard?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I apologize. I'm in the hospital. My husband's having cataract surgery, so there may be some background noise, but I don't so want to share this morning. I'm so grateful to be here. Oh, every day it seems like my connection with my source, my higher power, deepens and becomes more real. And this day was one of them. yesterday, I was so discombobulated. I was confused. I was unsettled. I was making unreasonable demands on my husband. And I was just in a turmoil, right? And as the day, and there was a kind of just a cloud of depression over me. And I acted out, you know, making these demands and anyway, and made amends for them. But today I was having my meditation. And what came out of that meditation was such a gift because I really got it. I got this connection that my parents brought me into this world. They were the vehicles that brought me into this world. But my real father, my real source is God. And I knew that intellectually, but today I felt it on a deeper level. And it brought, yes, much emotion and much peace and much settledness. And I really got that how selfish, self-centered, self-seeking, dishonest, and fearful that I was yesterday in my crazy mind, that it was born out of my total of fear of abandonment, my fear of being alone. And it wasn't even true because I'm not alone. And I have this higher power that is incredibly, incredibly real to me. And today I get to continue to uncover and discover and discard those things that are no longer serving me and that keep me blocked and keep people from seeing the light in me and me keeping me from seeing the light in all of you. And I get to do that today so that I can be of maximum service to my God and my fellows. And now I'm getting ready to have an audience, so I'm going to pass. Thank you. I love you all.
Thank you, Jackie H. Matt S., you're up now, and then Lori A. will follow you.
Good morning. It's Matt F. as in Frank from
Gotcha.
Illinois.
Thanks so much.
And you're welcome. I want to thank you for your service this morning. I really like the way you're hosting because one thing I just want to say is I love the way that you call ahead one name. So I had noticed to pull over to the side because I didn't want to crash. That would be sad. I had this understanding of myself as this like deeply rational but also deeply spiritual person. I was a committed, devout agnostic when I came into the program. And for me, consideration of the holy, of God, of the universe as a creative intelligence was always a matter of winning an argument with myself, with someone else. And it always, at the end, sort of boiled down to, if there's a God, then why this? Or how could this? And it wasn't until I was sitting in a meeting one day, and we were reading We Agnostics, and I think it's in We Agnostics that I got to the line, God is everything or God is nothing, or vice versa. I can never remember. But every time I'd read that line, it really caught me. It hooked me. And I didn't know why, and it did that day. And I don't know why, but suddenly I thought, you know, Mr. Rational, why don't you stop making an argument for a viewpoint or questioning a conclusion and instead try what you think of as a thought experiment. Let's just start with the assumption that one of those things is true. And so I started with the assumption, okay, what if God is everything? What would the implications of that be? And all of a sudden, every window and door opened up in my previously so-called open mind. Because that was the only thing that made sense to me. It was the only thing that could account for the totality of my experience, of my understanding of myself and my path. And it was also such a relief because it meant people say, you know, there's a plan or there's a reason everything happens. And that feels too human to me. It just meant to me that everything that's ever happened or that will ever happen is exactly what's supposed to happen. And that didn't start being true in that moment. It had always been true. And so all of my guilt and shame and fear was all supposed to happen too. So it just was such a real, I've said to people, like, I wish I could bottle that feeling, not because I think it's like the one true faith, because I don't, but it just has made my path so much easier. And I'm so grateful for that. And if I lose my abstinence tomorrow and stray off the path and stop doing my footwork and regain all the weight and, you know, and never find my way back, I will never stop being grateful for that.
Time.
And a big part of why I was able to do that is because of Vision for You. So I want to thank everyone on the call and everyone at Vision. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Matt F. Appreciate the share. Lori A.
Hi, everybody. My name is
Stacy, just one second. Stacy T will come in after you. Thanks. Hi, Lori.
Hi, sorry about that. Hi, I'm Lori A. from London, Ontario, Canada. And I just want to thank you so much for being here. And I qualify as an abnormal eater. And I love this chapter and especially this specific paragraph because I was never an agnostic or an atheist. I always believed in a higher power, in a God. But when I first came in, the God I had was very punishing and very guilt-ridden, and it wasn't until I'd been in quite a while that my concept of a higher power changed and became personal to me. But, you know, one thing I really love is how they talk about it being an all-powerful, guiding, creative intelligence, you know, even though they say that, you know, we wouldn't believe it. But I believe that my higher power is all powerful, and my higher power guides me in ways that I never thought were possible. And my higher power is very creative, because, and he's very intelligent, because he will create these solutions for me that, one, I could never have thought for myself, and two, the way he creates these solutions for me is just exquisite. I remember a few years ago, I was walking down the sidewalk, and I was heading to the store to rent a movie, and I had $12 in my pocket, and I was abstinent at the time, and I was renting a movie, and then I thought, well, maybe I'll get some of this binge food, and maybe that binge food, and maybe that binge food, so I reached into my pocket, and all I had was the $2 to rent the movie. I had lost the $10, you know, so I just thought that was great. Years later, when I was really, like, I'd had some long-term abstinent, we were downtown, and I found $10 lying on the ground. So to me, that is a true example, you know, amongst thousands of examples, how my higher power has been totally powerful, totally guiding, totally creative, and totally intelligent, and totally takes care of me. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you for being here, everybody. Nice to be back. Bye.
Thank you so much, Lori A. Stacy T., 3 minutes. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service, and if you could please time me, that would be great.
Okay.
Stacy T., recovering compulsive overeater in Cleveland, Ohio. And what came up for me about this that had me chuckle and not is that I miss the innocence that I had when I was a kid. And I was just laying on the grass and feeling my toes, you know, with the blades in between my feet and watching the clouds. And I know it sounds, I don't know what it sounds like, but it is true. And just being in wonderment. And I wish that I remember that, but I don't hold that today the same way. And as this addiction has continued to progress, I find myself in a boxing ring. And I'm driving to my office, and I trust that the roads will hold me, and I trust that the light will turn whatever color it's meant to for me to go pause or stop. And the boxing ring today is when I imprison myself with my thinking, and then I'm in self-reliance, and that I forget, which I do so often throughout the day. That there is some power greater than me that isn't me. And for this moment, I'm standing outside of the ring, thankfully, because I'm able to be sharing with you. And so just welcome to any of you that can relate to some of how it can be for me. And for right now, the door is closed to the ring, and I stand freely amongst you. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Stacy T. I'm hesitating that it allows us 2 minutes time, yet we always could use extra time for greeting newcomers and getting sponsor contact information. So since it looks like it's only about 90 seconds or so, I would like to take the liberty of sharing that back over to Wendy B. in just a few moments. Thank you so much for everyone that shared today. It was just a spiritual time that I was able to spend here with you, and thank you to all that gave service. So we will now close the meeting, the recorded portion anyway, by reading from the Big Book on page 164. A book is meant to be suggestive only. And Mary Jane Z., would you please close us out by reading that?
Be happy to. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.